If you would join with me in prayer. Gracious and mighty King, we come today to worship you and to hear from you. Fill our hearts and our minds with joy. Help us to experience your great love. Speak to us now that we might have everlasting life. We love you, Jesus. We are here to listen. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture comes from Luke, the 24th chapter. You can follow along. It will be printed on the screens. It's also printed in your bulletin, or you can look in your Bible. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to others. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May God bless his word. Have you ever had your hearts strangely warmed? Has there ever been a moment in your life when you felt something so powerfully transforming within you that you knew that the next moment would be different than all the previous moments? While the two men in today's Bible story were walking towards Emmaus, they encountered this stranger who enlightened them. He spoke about the news headlines of the day. The news headlines: prophet executed, tomb now found empty, body missing. And there was something strange about how the stranger taught and how he explained that this executed prophet was more than just a prophet, but that he was the Messiah. There was something about the way that this stranger spoke and his message that radiated within their hearts. There was once this man who was trained in religious schools, the best religious schools, and so he should know what Christianity is. And so he decided that he would take his training and he would go to another country and he would tell everybody about Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. And so he went to another country and he ministered to people in jail and he had lengthy Bible studies. But the thing was, as he did this, he hadn't experienced the risen Christ. He was going through all of these motions, and he looked good, but inside, there was just something missing. So then one day, he joined this Christian small group, and they were reading out loud the words of the theologian Martin Luther. And somehow, in the moment, those words broke through to his soul. And God's message got to him in a way it had never gotten to him before. And he knew in that moment that Jesus Christ was all that he needed. John Wesley wrote about his experience, and he wrote, "At about 8:45, while the writing of Luther was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did trust Christ, Christ alone for salvation." In today's story, we have these two men walking along the road and they encounter a stranger, and yet somehow the stranger's words strangely warm their hearts. So they invite him over. They invite him to come to their house for the evening, and they sit at the table, and the stranger takes bread, he gives thanks, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he passes it to them. And it is as if at that moment they had scales on their eyes and the scales fell off. It was as if for the very first moment in their life they could see. It was in that moment that they recognized that the stranger that was with them was actually the resurrected Christ. And in the exact same moment, Jesus disappeared. So my husband and I like to discuss news stories, and he is really good at telling news stories better than how the news reporters tell the news stories. So I will often say, "What's the news story I need to read today?" So one of the things that has been in the news a lot is self-driving cars. Anyone read about this or heard about it? So these are the vehicles that navigate the streets and even obstacles as they move from one location to the next without any human being having to touch the steering wheel, touch the gas pedal, the brakes, the turn signal. So this innovation of our time, there are some people who are afraid of it. There are some people who are afraid that these self-driving cars will actually cause more accidents. And there was actually an accident that happened recently in which a person lost their life, and that has raised fears. But then there are other people who think that the computers and the algorithms will actually save people's lives, that they'll decrease accidents. And so the big question is, who do we trust? Do we trust more a person driving the car or a computer and an algorithm driving the car? See, every day you and I have to make decisions about who we will trust, right? And who we won't trust. And some of those decisions have bigger consequences than others. So if you ask me what my favorite restaurant is and I make a recommendation and you go and you have a bad hamburger, you know, you trust in me, but it's not a big loss, right? You just lost the money and a bad meal that day. But if you and I decide to go on an adventure and we decide to go skydiving and you ask me to prepare your parachute and I've never prepared a parachute in my life, that's a different type of trust. There's bigger consequences to that, right? Don't trust me to prepare your parachute. So who and what we place our trust in, it matters, doesn't it? So the person behind the wheel, the cook in the kitchen, the employer we choose to work for, the people we choose to follow, how we choose to manage our lives, it matters. And honestly, when we've been burnt a time or two, we tend to trust others less and trust ourselves more. Because we know how we think, we know our motivations, we know our strengths, we know our weaknesses, or at least we think we do. And sometimes we even place a little bit too much trust in ourselves. We say, "I've got it. I'll be okay. I don't need help. I'll let you know when I need you. I'm fine." Have you ever said things like that? I don't think that was God's plan for us. See, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, two human beings who were made in the image of God. That's relationship. Actually, in God, there's three in one. There's relationship. And see, in the beginning, God created this beautiful garden, and the earthlings dwelt in it, and they walked with God. And God took care of the humans. And humans trusted God, and they fully relied on God for everything. We've come a long way since then, haven't we? Do we walk with God in the cool of the day? Do we talk with God about the birds we see and the work we do? Do we rely on God to provide for our every need? See, trust, it's been broken, and it needs to be restored. When Jesus died on that cross, his followers were devastated. See, all their hopes and their dreams that were tied to Jesus being the Messiah were nailed to that tree with him. So those two men who were on their way to Emmaus, when they saw the stranger, they said, "But we had hoped." Notice that's past tense. "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They were devastated, broken people. And then the stranger replied, "How foolish are you? How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And then begin with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what all the scripture said about himself. And then he took bread and he broke it, and their eyes were opened and their trust was restored." Jesus' body did not remain on that cross. It did not remain in the tomb. Jesus' body did not remain dead. We're here to say Jesus has risen to life. And because Jesus lives, you and I, we can live too. See, these two men's hearts, they were burning within them even before their eyes were opened. These two men encountered Jesus as a stranger even before they encountered him as their Lord. In the Bible, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And the word that we have translated to Lord in English is the Greek word kurios. And kurios, or Lord, refers to someone in which we have given them full authority. We have given them our full trust. We have given them full ownership of our lives. And so when the men announced, "It is true, the Lord has risen," this title Lord is this title of extreme respect and this reverence, and is shown by a servant to his or her master. When this title is used of Jesus, it references our complete giving over of ourselves and possession of our life to him. Romans 10, 8 through 9 reads, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning the faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So is the word near you? Do you feel it radiating through your heart? Do you feel the confession on your lips? Is your heart strangely warmed? You know what? We have a child saying yes. If you guys want to say yes, you guys can say yes out loud, okay? We don't have to be silent. Amen to that, okay? But let's do that again. Is the word near you?
Yes.
Do you feel it radiating through your heart?
Yes.
Do you feel the words of confession on your lips?
Yes.
Is your heart strangely warmed?
Yes.
See, I can tell you what the difference is between Christians and other Christians. You know what I mean. There are different types of Christians. There are those who believe, and there are those who live it. You can tell the difference between the Christians who go through the motions and the Christians who are transformed by the word of God. And I'm going to let you in on what the secret is between the two. The difference between the two is lordship. Both believe, but one has chosen to allow Jesus to be Lord. Now, you don't have to answer out loud, but I do want you to think about the answer in your mind. Is Jesus the Lord, the master, the one who owns your life? Is Jesus the owner of your soul? Is he the invisible driver of your car, the cook in your kitchen, your employer, your master, your guide in decision making? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? See, Jesus died on the cross for you. If there was no other person on this planet, Jesus still would have died on the cross for you. And Jesus rose from the dead for you. If there was only one person on the planet, he still would have rose from the dead for you. And Jesus is seated in heaven, and he is saying to us, he's inviting us to say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life." So will you let him be in charge? I invite you to pray with me and trust in your life to Jesus. Gracious and mighty God, we believe. Our hearts have been strangely warmed, and we know there is truth in your word and your message. Our lives in many ways are broken. We're hurting. We have sinned, and others around us have sinned, and we need your help. Thank you for dying on that cross for me, for us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and healing us from all of our unrighteousness. And thank you for rising to life, the greatest surprise of all. Thank you for showing us who you are and rising to life within us as well. Jesus, we invite you to take ownership of our life. We invite your spirit to come and live within us and transform us. You're in charge. We want more of you and less of us. We give you thanks in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a song that our worship team chose for us to watch today. It's a music video. And during the song, I want you to consider whether or not God might be calling you to stand before this group today and make a confession of faith in Jesus. At the conclusion of the song, you're welcome to come forward and do so, and I will pray for you. But let us enjoy the song. Thank you.